Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the World of Ink Network. This is one of your hosts, Virginia S. Grenier, and today Marcia Casper Cook is also on the show because we are doing our new show that we're doing once a month. Well, we'll be taking phone calls or tweets at hashtag World of Ink, or you can post to us at Facebook any questions you have on writing, publishing, and we'll be sharing some of the things that we have been learning and seeing out there in the publishing industry. So we welcome you to join us and to feel free to send any questions our way. How are you doing, Marcia?
I'm good. How are you? All right, so you're on as World of Ink, okay? All right, so I'm going to go on the tweet, too, so I can just see what's going on at the same time.
We're trying to do it all at once.
Yeah.
We're also on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook, we're the World of Ink Network. So it's facebook.com/World of Ink Network. And you can post questions for us there. That's our little page that we have, our fan page, where we post all our information. By the way, I saw your little post, Marcia, about December 5th being Take Your Child to the Bookstore Day. I thought that was pretty cool.
I found that. Right, I know. It sounds like, right. I know there's so many things out there. You know, you're posting and you're posting this and that. But a lot of the things, you know, are really good to do. But, you know, you have to go in different ways. That's the thing. You have to, you know, you don't, like if you go in something, you may not see it, and then you get in something else, and then you see like an advertisement for something. Because I think sometimes either Facebook, Twitter, you got to, actually for today's show, I posted it like I went in and posted it separately. So you can see it. So then I know exactly where it went, because I think sometimes when you're posting, You're on Pinterest, you're on everything, and then all of a sudden you look at your page, you've like got eight of the same thing on it. It posts back, and they don't always tell you. You know, I think Twitter does, but I think some of the other sites don't tell you it, but they are posting back now to Facebook. So if you see something, you have to go in probably and look and make sure you didn't post it 20 times. So you saw that, and I don't know where I posted it from, because I have too many Facebook pages. That's what we're going to talk about, probably all the things I do wrong. There's a lot of those.
we could have four hours
of shows for that.
Oh, yeah, easily 4 hours of shows. Well, and the thing is, I mean, there's so much out there now. I mean, things have really changed in the last 5 years, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know, especially I would say in the last 5 years, when it comes to the publishing industry. I mean, not only have ebooks, you know, taken a huge forward push in you know, being one of the top things people do now instead of just, you know, buying a print book, ebooks have really started dominating the market. The indie market has really taken off because of that. So, I mean, it's just, and there's like just all types of social media sites that have popped up. I mean, I remember, but then again,
I talked to somebody like, you know, Fran Lewis had a show today. I did not see her link. And that's the other thing. So just because you think that you posted it doesn't mean everybody sees it.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
I don't know how that can change.
Because I guess the only way to, you know, is I guess, and then I send separate messages to people. Sometimes, you know, just I email them separately because they may not be seeing what I put on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, I mean, you know, like for us here at the World of Ink, I mean, we have over 2 million reach between everything we do. And we know that even though we have that huge reach, the reason why we have to repost stuff is because not all 2 million people see it the first time we put it out.
I know that. I know. It's very, it is hard. And, you know, even when you do, you're on Hootsuite or you're on other things, you still have to recheck things because you think you put it out. And then I've done this where then I go look on my page and I go like, well, what happened? I know I posted this and it's not there.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, it does take a lot more work. That's one of the things we're probably going to talk about. It takes a lot more work to do social media than people think. But then again, if you don't do it yourself, you're, and you have somebody do it, then you have to make sure that you trust them as what they're going to tweet for you. And that's it all becomes very difficult, which is why we're going to have these shows to try to explain to people how, you know, how things go. And even as we're talking right now, something is probably changing. You know, do you have the chat room open? I can open it. I'll open the chat.
No, room. I don't have the chat room open. So if you want to
open it and see, if it works, right?
Yeah, I was just taking care of the Twitter. I kind of want to talk a little bit about company reaches and stuff because I know that's like the big thing out there now when companies are marketing to indie publishers, small publishers. Trying to figure out why I'm hearing like this weird beep sound. Indie publishers, authors, illustrators, you know, speakers, whatever, you know, they'll talk about, like, well, we have this huge reach. I mean, and I'm not going to say, I mean, World of Ink, we do the same thing. I mean, we let people know we have over, you know, over 2 million reach. But the thing that you need to understand is even though a company tells you that, and that's great, and it shows that they've built up their reputation, that they have followers, that, you know, they really work hard in getting marketing out. That's why they have that type of a reach. The one thing that they don't tell you, and that's the whole point of the show, is what with Marcia and I, and being basically very candid, no holds bar, is, you know, we're here to tell you, when we do a book tour for an author, we let them know, you know, we have, you know, over 2 million reach when we blast our post out. However, we keep blasting them out. So, like, if you do a book tour and your book tour runs from, for 1 week or 2 weeks, guess what? You're not going to – those people aren't going to see all those posts because it's just post after post after post. And because of that, you know, either people tune out or it doesn't get out to every single person in that company's reach. That's like one reason why when Marcia and I do a book tour at World of Ink, we post every other day, each author's post.
Well, you have a routine more or less because you do most of the book tours, and you do the book tours, but I follow and I share and I link it to my things.
It's a team effort.
I'm looking at it all the time, but people, you know, unless you scroll down, you are going to miss things. And I think people don't realize unless they really – I mean, some days – I know I have to do this. I sit there and I scroll down to see what everybody has done because sometimes if you just do it once, well, for the shows, we need to do it more, but sometimes people just do it once and then they wonder why nobody saw it.
That's what I was talking about. I mean, like, and that's the thing. I mean, that's where our partnership comes in. I mean, I take the lead on the tours, but you follow up behind me because you repost them behind me. But the other thing is, too, is I don't post every day. I don't post those posts every, you know, like five times in a day either because that just drives people insane. I post every other day.
Yeah.
And we don't just do a book tour within a week or 2 weeks. When we do, it's funny because a lot of authors will ask that question. Well, when you're going to help me with marketing, you know, so how long is it going to run? And we're like, well, you know, we'll start it in this month. And so they go, so it's going to go all through the month of November. Well, yeah, but we actually go beyond that because we know that running it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks is never enough, that we have to go back and redo it, which brings up like what you talked about our shows. Like, for example, you know, yesterday I had a show on promoting, a book, a children's picture book, and I had the author and the illustrator on. I posted 2 days before the show. I posted the day of the show.
Yeah.
Like after the show aired, and then I'm going to go tomorrow and repost about the show again. You have to follow up continuously because the people who saw it 2 days ago and the people who saw it yesterday are not probably going to be the same people who see it 2 days from now.
No, right. No, yeah, and that's right, and that is true. You know, and the chat room is open, we should say that, and we have somebody in the chat room, and they seem to be very happy that, you know, they're following us, in the, which is lucky that the chat room worked today. Hello. Sometimes
yeah.
It doesn't work, you know.
It's true.
And if anybody in the chat room does have a question, please, you know, we'll be taking the questions. Also, the phone number is 714-242-5259. If you want to call us. Again, 714-242-5259. And today we may not have as many calls, but we're trying to do that now with our shows that we have once a month now, Virginia and I. So if you have questions, we kind of know what people are asking because they ask us, and that's why we're going to, we talk about all these things, because these are questions people have asked us over, you know, time and, you know, in the last week or anybody we talk to. And so if anybody out there is feeling very confused, you should be, because we all are, because there's so much changing as we're speaking that, and, you know, what you did last year doesn't work this year.
A lot
of this doesn't work at all. That's the other thing, you know.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, and here's an example. I'm actually, and I won't say which author it is, because we have two authors besides Marcia and I who have books out right now that we're promoting. But
yeah.
one of the two authors that we're currently doing a tour for did a book tour with another company. And here's the thing. I mean, and I'm not going to say, oh, ours work better than anybody else's. It's obviously how hard somebody works for you as well. But when she contacted us, because she'd done a tour with us before, and I can say this because they both have done tours with us in the past, the authors are touring right now, she was very happy with it. Well, she decided to try somebody else before coming back to us for her book that's released right now, and was very unhappy because there was a lot of people who signed up to review the book and never posted the book review ever. It's still,
yeah.
I mean, 2 months later, the book reviews still aren't up. And so she's like, you know, I'm coming back to you guys because it seemed like, you know, when you ask people to do the reviews, they post the reviews. I'm like, well, that's because I didn't just contact the people, have them say, yeah, send me the book or the ebook or whatever. And then, you know, check their site once in a blue moon and no, it never got posted and never, you know, I'm like, did the tour company you work with, did they ever contact those bloggers and say, hey, you said you're going to do a book review. What's up? Are you sick? Is something going on? Are you not able to? I mean, I do that.
One of the other things is you and I have done book. We have been trying some experimental things lately.
Yes.
And it's cost us money. I mean, we did go out and pay money for all these things because we really wanted to see how they work. And
yeah,
there
is really no
communication, you know, between. You know, after you pay your money and the initial either email or whatever, you don't hear that much. And you got to go find
right.
it yourself.
And you
got to go find your book reviews yourself. You don't know. I mean, like, you'll see it in front of you. There's a book review.
Yeah,
you go, where did that come from?
Yeah, no, that's true. And of course, Marcia, you got to be careful because we do our book tours and we're good with following up. So we're not like, but Marcia and
nope.
I just actually, both of us signed up with a company.
Yeah.
We both paid over $100 with
yep.
this company to tour the books.
But besides that, we paid for shipping. And that's another thing neither of us will do again. We shipped all over the place because they didn't want ebooks.
Yeah, nobody wanted well, we had very few that wanted ebooks. They mostly wanted print books. We both spent over $100 just in shipping costs to ship books
yeah.
out to all reviewers.
Yeah.
And I know I have seen 3 reviews come out of that, and you've
yeah.
seen how many?
Several reviews, but you know what? And an audio review and some of that. But, however, no, the audio review actually came from something else, too, I think. But the thing is that we have not seen – it's not even that. It's just that it's not that we didn't see book reviews, but we made decisions ourselves because of it, because we realized how much money it costs when you're sending it to the UK. You're sending it. We sent it all over. I didn't even know where I was sending
right,
it.
Right, right.
Because Amazon wouldn't let you, and they tell you that, you know, you can go through Amazon and send the book, which I tried on several occasions. But if you don't have it exactly, they may give you an address. and it doesn't actually fit into the system of Amazon, they're not sending their book out. So I had to go. I had to go to the post office, and they said, "Well, we're not even guaranteeing they're going to get there."
Well,
so we already know that we're not going to do this.
Well, and that's why we've cultivated over the years the list of reviewers that we have, and we know, you know, and we test other people out to see are they doing a better job than us, because we don't want to offer a service if people are doing a better job. And basically, Marcia and I both come back to the same conclusion that what we've cultivated over the last, you know, 5+ years. With you know, reviewers and doing book tours for authors, is that we have built a rapport with bloggers and the book reviewers that we deal with because we follow up with them. We actually have physical conversations with these people. We don't send them this memo, here's a book, you want to review it, and end of story.
That's one of the things, you know, there's so much going on now with Amazon, with reviews, and I mean, it is very confusing. So if people are out there feeling confused, you're not alone, because, you know, as much as we do, and I've done this for years, and you and I have both had, I've had shows for 6 years, you have shows for 5 years, and this is just how it is now. I mean, it just doesn't work like if you snap your fingers, and it is a lot of work. But you can't do nothing. That's the other thing. I have self-published a lot of books, and we put something. We're now doing ads, and we have one now from Fidelity that's an ad on our pages, and it's also. Mm-hmm. She has helped me. She's done all my books for the 8 years, and she's really helped me a lot. And as people know that know me, I have changed way too many times some covers, and I hope I don't do this again. I really do. You know, and because I have tried things that don't work and whatever, and she's been very patient and understanding about how it is, because I do change more than most people, and I'm not telling anybody to do this because it's hard, but I do different genres, and that's one of the things we wanted to talk about also with getting in libraries, and because I have a romance book, somebody walked up to me and told me why I'm not getting in their library because of that, for my children's books. So I think that's why you see people with, you know, different name, you know, they use a pen name and whatever, and that's what I did at the beginning, thinking it was the right thing to do, and it was. Then I switched it back to my name, then I went back to another name, and then now it's in my name, but I did take out some of the things that I felt the schools would I wasn't going there to talk about that, but when they saw my name attached to it, they said parents go in and look at the people coming to the schools, and they weren't happy to have you. So I'm thinking this is not good.
Yeah, which is why you have to be careful with the whole social media and what you post out there too, because I know a lot of authors, they tie their Twitter account feeds to their websites and stuff like that. Let's just say you write middle grade books, but you read romance, so you retweet some romance, and they've got some sketchy covers, which is kind of what Marshall, not your cover was ever sketchy, but because you were in the romance market, there's that, because of 50 Shades of Grey now, stereotype out there that every romance book is like that.
And you know what? And, you know, after 50 Shades of Grey, let's just face it, there isn't an author out there that wouldn't like to get the notoriety that one did, but it's over, you know, so just write the way you write. Don't think you're going to be the next 50, because it's not going to happen again. It's just not.
No.
You know, it happened once, and it was incredible, and it did open the market, but a lot of people that say they don't read it, they're, for whatever reason, don't want to admit it, you know, but there are a lot of people who read those books, and I bet a lot of the people in the library that I was trying to get into, they read that book, and my book was not anything like that. You know, I just had a few words in it that they didn't feel would be right, and the character does swear. I mean, it's Virginia Templeton. People like her because she swears. She's just different, and she does swear. I can't take that out because that would change the whole character. She's just a tough, powerful woman, and she swears, which most people these days do, and even if people watch TV, the words have changed. There are a lot of things that the censors let through. I'm sitting there, I'm going like, oh boy, they let it go through, and that's it. And it's not cable, it's the regular stations, 257, you know, and the words go right through. So I think it's really tough. So, you know, write the best you can, but you have to think about so many things. It is hard. You know, And I have a lot of romance writers on, and I love the shows. We have great shows. And it's really a shame because this is just a book. It's not his,
yes.
There's no reflection of what, you know, is really happening with them. They're just writing a book. It's the character. It's not them.
Right,
that's
right.
What people don't remember. You know, they have to remember that it's not the person. It's just the character. If the character does certain things, doesn't mean that you're saying it's right or wrong. You're just writing as the character, and I think other writers understand that, but a lot of people don't because they're not writers. And a lot of characters don't have anything to do with anybody that writes them. It's nothing to do with their life. So I guess, you know, there's so much to say about all of these things, you know. And I've always been in the same way as you are. We try to encourage people to write. And you just have to really love writing and not worry about everything. It's hard not to worry about everything because as you're writing, you're hoping you get an audience, you know.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That's the biggest thing. The authors who do well, the ones that survive, the ones who eventually, I think, get their break. You know, the big thing with them is that's the thing. They don't concern themselves with what everybody else is doing.
Right.
They just write. That's all they do.
Right.
They just write.
And with reviews.
Every one of them I talk to.
With reviews, okay, that's the other thing. Okay, and I think one of the things I want to bring up is something that I did post all over the place because I felt that this is one of the things the market, you know, has there's a lot of issues. People are writing reviews that are mean or not truthful. And just to write them and not getting the facts, you know. They're not fact checkers, but they have to really think about what they say in a review before they say it. Because Amazon is watching, and Amazon will take them off, and Amazon is not happy. That's why, unfortunately, they are removing some of the wrong people that they're, you know, for being reviewers. It's a very tough market for reviewers now. I mean, so, you know, you don't need a million reviews like people think they do. But I had a book, and I do have a book, Sala, it's called To Life. And I think I told you about this, you know, for a week I didn't talk to you, I think you were busy, and then when I told you what happened was they wrote a review, I think they gave me either a half a star, and that part I don't care, I've been doing this for 15 years, I've been rejected from screenplays, whatever, I can survive that. However, they did a review and said I was a lazy author, didn't get my facts right, could have had a good fiction book. However, this was a memoir, and this is all true. And this was told by Sala Lewis, who the book To Life is about. And it's her story, not my story. And then they wrote in it, I should have done this, and they were telling me what I should have done, and I didn't do, and they're not recommending it, which that's fine. But it's her story, and a memoir is not a piece of fiction. It happened to her. She was in the concentration camp. She was 10 years old, so it's written that way, and she was a beautiful model afterwards. And the reason I wanted to do her story is because when I met her, I thought, this is a woman who, regardless of how bad it was for her when she was a child, she moved on to have a happy life. That's why I wrote the book. So that was the book, and it wasn't that I was a lazy writer. She was 10 years old and 11 and 12 and when she was there, and she didn't know what was going on around her. Her sister took care of her, and so that was a wrong review. I did call Amazon. I don't know what will happen with that, but, you know, so when you get a bad review, you can call Amazon. I wouldn't have called normally. I just felt because this is a memoir and it was a true story about something very important, I thought, and it's probably still going to be there, and that's okay, because I think it's a good way to explain to people what could happen in a review if somebody really doesn't know what they're talking about and they decide to review your book. So just got to let it pass.
Yeah, you can't worry about
writing.
It.
Don't stop writing.
Yeah, don't stop writing. And the other thing, too, and speaking of the reviews, and I love the fact you brought up Amazon, because I know I told you about this, I'm sure some of our listeners have maybe seen the post in the Washington Post. Actually, there was a whole article about it, and there's been a few other places. But Amazon is the first company out of many, because I know Yelp has had this issue as well, going after reviewers that all they ever give is like 4 and 5 star reviews. And here's the thing: I deal with this a lot with the book tours. I have a lot of book reviewers who do get a book every so often that they're not quite thrilled with. And they're like, should I post the review? And here's the thing that the authors need to understand, because I've gotten into this fight with authors and I've gotten this fight with my reviewers. And I tell them both the same thing. I've told the book reviewers to be honest and post the review, and the author doesn't want the review to go up, and they've gotten mad. And they want me to go tell the blogger to pull the review. And I'm like, here's the thing. If you pay for a tour or you pay for a book review, it doesn't mean you get to control if the book review gets posted good or bad. And I know a lot of sites allow that to happen. The problem is Amazon's now going after companies who do that because it's not honest. It's not being truthful, because if every review that only gets posted is always a 3 to a 5 star review, and all the 2 and 1 star reviews never are allowed to ever be seen by a company or an author or a publisher, that's not really being honest to the consumer.
So it's
something to be aware of, that, you know, negative reviews, you can, like what Marcia, like you just did, you know, it proved that if this person really read the book, they should have noticed it was a memoir. Obviously, this person wasn't paying attention. So now you get to talk about your book by taking this negative review and spinning it into a positive publicity thing for you and saying, hey, you know, here's a prime example that you need to kind of be aware of the genre you're reading before you start making a review up, because it wasn't a fictional book. It was real.
Right. I'm getting back. There's one thing. There's in the chat room we're having here, you know, somebody's who out there, and we thank you for being there. And, you know, they're writing a novel, and they're, you know, listening to our information, and said they will listen a few times, because, you know, sometimes I, even with us, we say it, but that doesn't mean we always do what we say. So, you know, that's why we say things a lot of times. And, you know, and then we're talking about the pen names, as far as pen names, that, you know, that is why people use pen names, to what I had said before, why they use pen names. And, you know, I wanted to respond to that because, yes, this is why, because of things like, you know, all the things that Virginia and I are saying are, you know, applied to not only us, but to a lot of people that we know. And so, and I know a lot of people with pen names. I just didn't want to forget this. And I don't even, I try to keep them in their pen names and not know their other name. So this way I won't make any mistakes of calling them.
Yeah.
You know, because it's really important for a lot of people. So I just wanted to address you. Thank you for in the chat room, you know, putting that in there.
True. Yeah, because I know I've gone through that, because I write under V.S. Grenier, and I know you put V.S. Grenier in our show thing. But I also, because unfortunately I'm out there as myself, as Virginia S. Grenier, for like director of the St. George Book Festival and other things, my two things kind of get tied together a lot. So I don't sweat it too much. But in regards to pen names, the reason why I do write with V.S. Grenier as the actual name on my books is because where I live, my husband works for the city. And so for the longest time, until I started becoming more involved in the community, which is why I started not caring about my first name being thrown around in the writing world, was to try and keep myself separate from what my husband did. Because when you're in a political environment, it gets really touchy. So, and I know there's moms who write, you know, erotic romance, and they don't want the teachers knowing that.
And that is true. That is true. I had one show with 5 people on it, and they all had different names. I thought, oh, my God, this is really hard. You know, and because it was very difficult. You know, but I understand it more now than ever since I did this. And you know, it's not great that I heard this about the libraries. You know, it's really, you know, it has not, whatever, like I said before, whatever the characters are, it's nothing to really, it's just a character. You know, I took it from one of the screenplays I wrote, and that's just all. And I think that, you know, it is hard to, you know, because, you know, I mean, you see a lot of things on TV, and it's just like you're writing, and because you're trying to write a story, and if the person in the story does certain things, it's so hard, because getting that stigma away, when I first started writing, like 20 years ago or whatever, I was so bad about swearing. I couldn't swear in it. It was like, oh, my God. And then I finally learned how to do it. And then when I was going to write a romance book, I used the one character that I knew that could get me through this so I could see if I liked writing it. You know what I mean? And she swore. So, I mean, but it was difficult for me so many years ago to think that people wouldn't think it was me talking, you know.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, although on the other hand, being, as I was a signatory agent, I had a lot of clients. Sometimes I was reading their work and I go, oh, they put themselves in it. It was usually men that did that, though. They put themselves in it. I used to say, is that you in there? And they go, well, yeah. And I go, because I could feel it. You know what I mean? It was real, was
right.
Them, okay. You know, that was the macho side of the guy. You know, they were putting themselves, and some of them even used their name as the character, you know. And, right. I never with a woman. I didn't have that. No woman author did that. So it was like, you know, I wrote under a man's name because I thought I could write better. And in those years, and I still, you know, as screenplays, I think, as we all know, women, that it is, you know, still a man's world, even though, that, you know, and it's still harder for a woman, I think, and for her to hold a movie and get the movie, you know, because that's changing, hopefully. But a lot of women are out there talking about that are actresses, how tough it is for women in this field.
It is.
So, you know, you
got to
let yourself go, but then there's a point that people go, uh-oh, is that you speaking, you know?
Well, all you have to do is watch all the their TV series where they always do the after show things,
yeah,
and they have like,
yeah,
all the writers come and they do the round table. Count at that round table how many of those people are female and how many of them are men. I can guarantee you it's dominated by the men.
Yeah.
I've noticed that. I noticed that when my husband was watching the after show for Breaking Bad. I was like, I think the only person who was sitting there was Seagal. Other than that,
yeah,
it was all the male characters and male writers. It was really interesting. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now you've got a lot of female actresses that are out there, you know, and that's a good thing, you know.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's
it. Well, I was going to say, originally the romance genre, which I don't know if a lot of people know this, but it used to be dominated, speaking as pen name, you would see female names on a lot of the books or initials with their last name. And a lot of the time it was male writers. It was not females writing those romance novels, by the way. That's
no,
changed now,
yeah.
But it used to be dominated by male authors.
Yeah, and you really don't know. A lot of times you don't know. I mean, and that's one of the issues with Facebook, you know. So, you know, people are responding to other people, but you really don't know. They can put a picture up. You don't really know if it's even them. I mean, there's a lot of caution that has to be taken when you do a lot of things, you know, and you can't really trust everybody out there. I hate to say this, but it's true. You know, you don't know. I mean, with us, they've heard our voice. So that's another reason why I had to, you know, because I started talking about Virginia Templeton, and then I thought, well, they're going to know it's me because I'm on a show, and, you know, and I was talking. But I think, you know, for us, it was it's hard to do that because we're out there talking, you know. But for other people to, you know, use a pen name, it's kind of, you know, easier because nobody's listening to their voice and knowing if they are male or female, you know.
Well,
and that's
something. That's something you need to take into consideration, I think, when you want to get into the writing world. Because I always think of, like, J.K. Rowling. A lot of people didn't know if it was a guy or a girl originally when the Harry Potter books came out. And for the longest time, everybody just called her J.K. because nobody knew what her real name is, which is, I think it's Joanne, but she goes by Jo. Anyways, but now everybody knows that all these years later. So for her to try and write under another pen name, because of her notoriety, it would make it harder. So that's one thing you have to think of as an author, as you go into thing is, you know, like how Marcia and I do Blog Talk Radio and stuff. If you're going to put yourself in a real under the spotlight kind of environment, it's going to be harder to hide all the things you do than if you want to be the writer who hides behind your computer screen and don't really do interviews and that kind of stuff. But then you have to take along with it. You can't look at other authors who are out there all the time and say, well, why am I not like them? Because it's that whole, you got to pick and choose, you know, how much you want to be under that microscope is really the way to look at it.
You know, right. You know, that is true. I mean, you know, you have to decide that. And what you and I have said, you know, a lot of times that, you know, unfortunately, I would like to say that a lot of this marketing is doing good for people, but I really don't think so. I don't, you know, that's why we're trying new things. And I think, you know, to keep yourself right, you just got to keep writing and just believe in yourself and just keep writing. And the more books you have, you know, and Amazon, you know, and I think we were talking about this the other day, it's kind of like the Hunger Games because we're all pitted against like each other, because you look at your, you can't help but look at your rankings and you go like, well, I don't understand. My ranking does not move, and all these other people, it's, they're like number 20, number 1,000. And
but that goes
it's
back
a very,
to what Amazon's, honestly, but that goes back to a lot of what Amazon's suing for, is because people are buying to have over 100 reviews, or paying companies to give them more than 100 reviews, and they're all positive reviews. And Amazon's cracking down on that, so that's going to slowly change those rankings for that reason.
Right, and it's like, you know, right, it's, I think it, yeah, I'm just looking to see if there's anything in the chat room, because my chat room keeps going in and out. But I think that, you know, that is a problem. You know, I mean, I spend days sometimes looking at things and trying to figure out, and you do too, you know, of what is a good way to do it. I think, you know, probably one of the things is, you know, which I do a lot of, I do a lot of banners, you know, and Kelly from Selectographics does it, and, you know, she does a lot of our banners. And I think, you know, people need to spend money on banners, and, you know, Fideli, you know, she, we're trying to send people to people that will help them, as well as us, too. Do you know what I mean? And
we will
help them. So maybe you want to want to talk a little bit about what you, like, you do a lot of, you do the tours, and you do, you know, I don't do the tours, you do the tours. And the thing about your tour is, because I did one like 5 years ago, and then I did another one, you do a very extensive tour. And when you say it's too, it is too extensive, you know, because you, I mean, for me, because it's so much work, but it's really a good tour, because you absolutely get that author out there. I mean, you do.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it doesn't mean you're going to sell a million books, but it matters.
No.
When you go on
exposure.
Google, that's what matters.
Well, and
obviously,
that's the one thing that's, I mean, and our, and we've done many different tour packages. We've changed, you know, we've redesigned our tour packages many times. We've done, you know, many things. Right now, to do a book tour, which is basically book review driven,
But being on a show also is really important.
Well, but our tour is $199 for our book tour, and there's no time limit on it, meaning I don't say, oh, it's only a week long. What I tell you is for that amount of money, is we work really hard to get you at least 10 honest book reviews. I will, if I get you more, great.
And
if I don't
and sharing. That's the thing. We share. And between
we
the two of us,
share
we have
everything.
So many. I have a lot of Facebook pages. You have Facebook pages. We put them on our blogs. We put them all over, and
we do.
We have a lot of things. So you know,
and we don't.
So
we don't tell an author, okay, well, it's only from this week, you know, for this week only, for that amount of money. We're like, no.
We have a lot of returning guests, so we have returning guests that we have made friendly, you know, over the years, friendly. We are friendly with them. We remain. We watch what they do. So we're never, like, really done with, you know, like with some of them.
We're never done with
them. After you pay your money, you're done.
No, and we're not. I mean, we're about forging relationships with those, with the people that we do business with. We're about forging relationships with. And the relationships we've lost that haven't stayed over the years, it's not because we don't want to keep those relationships going. It's either because those people have gotten busy and haven't reciprocated, or they've literally fallen off the face of the planet. We don't know what happened to them. And we turn to each other and say, have you heard from so-and-so lately? I can't get a hold of
them. Because then I call them and I go, like, what is going on with you? Where are you? I do. I go, like, where are you? You want to be on a show? And, you know, I mean, and, you know, we're very open to that also. You know, if they, you know, we have a lot, like on my show, I do have a lot of, like, several guests at one time, you know, and it really is really nice to have, you know, you can almost see, like, you know, on the night shows on TV, when they have familiar guests, how much easier of an interview it is for them, because they know them already. And we've had a lot of, well, we've been doing this for a long time, but we have people on, like, you know, I had Lee and Jean on last week, and we talked about a lot of things about writing, like we're doing now, and they were happy to do this because they were both very successful authors, and they are, you know, romance, and then they go into historical romance, which is, we've had shows on that also. So I think that, you know, I was happy that they came on, because as we know, and we just said before, things are changing, and so I like to hear what they're doing, you know.
Right, right.
And the bottom line is the libraries are tough for all of us. So that's one of the things I wanted to say to people and you and I. I don't know. I mean, we're trying, and I think the libraries, it's just that they have their staff cut, and I think they don't want to bother as much as they used to have books, you know, people there. You know,
well, and
so I think that's
well,
from
the library, from my local libraries, and I work really closely with them because of the book festival.
Yeah.
I've actually gotten to know both the director and assistant director to our county library system quite well over this past year. And one of the things that both Joel and Alan have told me continuously throughout when we were prepping for the book festival and even since then is the patrons don't tend to show up and listen to authors like they used to. They find, like when we did our panel discussion, which you could hear the noise in the background. When we did that, because there was multiples of us there and we were talking about a subject that people were interested in and people turned out. But a lot of people, even when I was doing the book festival, if it was an author who was coming just to talk about their book, we saw fewer numbers than when it was on a subject that related to its community in some way.
Yeah.
Then they were interested because nobody wants, and this goes right back to, social media and paying, you know, companies to help you with marketing. If all you're doing is posting about your book with the buy me kind of attitude, you're going to lose the consumer.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, what do I get out of it other than you're telling me to, like, spend money and buy your book? They want to know what they personally are going to get out of. And that's the thing authors need to do. They need to, when they're marketing, focus on, and this is what I do with the tour, is you know, everything we talk about is how this will help better the reader's life.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want to know. How will this benefit me? How will this make my life more enriched?
Yeah.
By reading this book, by getting this product, whatever it is, that here's the marketer in me coming out. That is true marketing, and that is a beneficial way of marketing versus doing more of the persuasive marketing, like, oh, don't you want to be like everybody else and get an iPad?
Yeah.
<You know?
laughs> But you know, and that's the other thing. There's also, you know, as we know, you know, I did 4 audiobooks with children, and that's a very tough market. But Gabriel Byrne did one, and Elise did one. Gabriel did 3, and Elise did 1, and I love it. And I think that people, one of the problems is that people, along with reading a book, a lot of kids sometimes, if they hear it and see it at the same time, it's such a good learning device for kids, and it helps authors. I'll tell you, I've talked about this several times. When I listen to a book on tape, on the audio, I listen on my phone, I absolutely hear every word, but I cannot tell you if I do that when I read a book because I think I skip. And because then I have to go back sometimes. And this is just a way some people read better than others. And I read really well. It's just, you know, I'm kind of like in a hurry sometimes. So, you know, you want to finish the book. But when it's audio, it's a different experience. And I think people, it's not ready yet, but for it to be really explosive, I think. And that's why my Virginia Templeton, we are going to do that one, and that should be doing good. And I think the children's book, because even you said, Virginia, you were surprised how the story sounded so different when you heard it on audio.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in the process right now for my books to go audio, and I'm listening to people audition right now for the books. And there's this one guy. Who my husband? He's not like him because he thinks he's too low key. But I like it because my book's about a bear, and when I think of bears, I think you know country and like Bernstein Bear kind of just more of a laid back attitude. And so he has that kind of voice. And out of everybody else who has read, including the women, his voice just reminds me of like the camping, go fishing kind of grandpa kind of voice. And it just to me it fits. So I haven't yet.
I think it's a big help. I really do. I think people should consider it. And they're really, you know, when you get a subscription to like the ACX, which is Audibles, that you get them for less. And they're all, even children's books are not that much money.
Hear things. I know when I listen to your audiobooks, hearing the auditions for my audiobooks, when I listen to other authors' books on audio, what I love about it too is I hear more depth and detail than I think I would have picked up reading the book. It really does. It just it.
And we have some okay, go ahead. I was just going to say in the chat room.
I'll just say if anybody's ever seen that commercial for audiobooks that they have out now, where it's the lady and she's flipping through the different audiobooks, and it says let the book surround you or something is like the end catchphrase, is something similar to that. That's so true. That is so what audio does.
There's a couple questions here that are really good. Okay, what are some of the good suggestions for authors to distinguish themselves from the general crowd so that they're more likely to be noticed? That's a good question. Virginia, you want to start with that?
For me, it goes back to what I was saying. When I go out there, I don't just go out there and say, hey, you know, my new book, Whistlebean's out, and, you know, it's on Amazon, go check it out. I don't do that. I actually post things that tie in. So I will share the backstory of why I wrote the book. I might share, you know, how my kids don't like vegetables and how I got my kids to eat vegetables lately, which is why I wrote my book, Whistlebean's. So I talk about other things, and then it's basically, think about like when we were in school and you had to write the report and you had your main subject, then you had to write supporting information, and then you had to wrap it back to that first, you know, to the main topic. That's how you should interact with your readers. That same concept where you share whatever the main theme is, you somehow plug your book in there, and then by doing that, you wrap it back up to that main theme again.
Good thing. Now, like, you have blogs and I have blogs. You know, I actually think these days, you know, to promote yourself, sometimes a blog is working better than a website, because a blog, you can put different articles on. Like, if you have a kid's book, you can put recipes on and things like that, and that will relate back and get more views. You know, because you're talking about whatever it is your book is talking about, if it's like kids or adults, and if you go to an article and put it on your blog, because on the websites, you know, I think a lot of people, you have to have a website, but a website is more like about what you do, but then
it's a blog, kind of what other people do,
and it's interest.
Well, and I'll say, like, even on Facebook, let's talk about Facebook. Facebook, I have a Babysitting Sugar Paw fan page. And obviously now I have Whistlebean's, which is part of the series, but back then I didn't know I was going to do that. So otherwise I would just call it Sugar. I would just name it Sugar Paw or something. But I post on that fan page, not just what's going on with the books, but I also will have literally my character. I'll put Bonnie Whiskers. I'll put a colon. And then I'll have like a message that came from, so it's like a Bonnie Whiskers message. And it's nothing to do with the book. It's just one of her babysitting tips, because the first book I wrote was called Babysitting Sugar Paw, and she was the babysitter. So by doing that, it engages my readers.
Well, one thing I did, remember when I did this, I did, William Maltese has been on the show. He's written like 100 or maybe over 200 books. He's got books on every genre, whatever, and he has cooking books. I put on a beef stroganoff from his book, and people were coming in from all over the place looking at his recipe and saying, oh, this sounds good, I'm going to cook it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, then you can put that also on your Pinterest page, because Pinterest is another good way, without saying buy my book, buy my book, buy my book. You can make it as your characters. Like, I do that for Virginia Templeton. She likes shoes. And so I do a Pinterest page. You know, all of that can tie back. And then you tie it all back to your blog and your website. And it's just a well-rounded. Now, I also, in the chat room, they're wanting to know, you know, what we can do for them, you know, that would help them get out there. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And what,
so,
you know, what why people would want to use some of the things that we do out there.
Okay. Well, one reason is because Marcia and I pretty much, and we continuously, we test everything ourselves. We actually
do.
If you go to worldofeatnetwork.com and actually read our page, we even say that we extensively go out ourselves and test things before we even roll out services to the people we work with, because we don't want to do something with, like I said, I mean, we offer tours. We've been offering book tours for 5 years, but do Marcia and I still sign up for other companies' book tours? Of course we do.
Yeah, we do. Because we want to see how they're doing.
Do it, Right, and if they do a better job than us, then we're like, hey, we shouldn't be offering tours anymore. We should be telling people this is where they should go instead. Because
that's why things like the banners, you know, I think this is like shoes, kind of like you never have enough banners because I have like a lot of them. Because, you know, if you change your Facebook page, you know, where, you know, you put a banner up, it matters, and not a banner of me. I don't, you know, I'm not big on pictures for myself. I have one on there because people say they have to see who I am. But if you put your books or something that relates to what you do on your Facebook page and your blog page, and you do the widgets, I mean, those are things that you do. It seems like they're little things, but they really matter. They really do.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
you
do,
know,
they do. And I
you
want,
could almost put it on Amazon also, because you can also, when you put your blog, you can also go in and there's when you're adding different things, you can add sometimes and put it on Amazon. So I put it on my page like our shows.
Yes. Well, and I'll say the other thing too with banners, because I change, you know, I know people are like, well, how often should I, you know, okay, so you're telling me I need a lot of banners, but how many should I get? It really is up to you. Like I do new banners or switch out my banners every quarter to at least twice a year is kind of what I do with my banners. If you're tech savvy, great. You know, you make your own banners. Marcia knows I do quite a few of them myself. But then there's times where I'm like, nah, I need to have a little bit more oomph than
I don't have time. I do not.
either I have a certain idea in my head, but I can't draw, and it's something that needs to be drawn. So then, yes, I will actually pay people to do that. But if it's like something where I can, you know, where it's just some words with like a picture, a cover of my book, then I can pretty much do that. So I'll do those myself. But those are important. I think
someone also in the chat when they're talking about if you I'm going to read this because you know if you have
also,
it says
pieces are important.
If you have quilting, do you see that? Are you on the chat room? But anyway, it says if you have some good quilting information and then you have a patchwork of mystery ready, that you can add that in. Or, you know, with even in your book, you know, and I think I was listening to Fran Lewis's show that one of the books, I don't remember, she's a romance writer, and she wrote in her book, she put in like recipes and things, and people started cooking the recipes. So people have to eat. People have to eat in books. You know, they're human.
We think they're human.
They get hungry.
Whatever unique idea you can come up with. When I wrote my picture book, Whistle Beans, which is the second book in the Sugar Paw Adventure series. The first book, I had no informational tips at the back of the book or anything. It was just a fun story about this terrible little bear that I'm surprised Bonnie Whiskers didn't strangle and babysitting. Anyways, the second book I wrote, both books are, of course, based off my childhood. The second book I wrote, at the end, I actually added it's called Fresh Facts section. And it wasn't just like the nutritional value of the different vegetables within my story. I didn't even put that in there. It was the other things that you can do with these vegetables. Like you can use lettuce as a compress for a sprained ankle.
Yep.
Like who knew that?
Yeah,
so,
I mean, that's the thing. You don't know.
You
can also find a lot of things on Pinterest to add in because if you look at quotes, I actually added when we redid my book for the 400th time, A Virginia Templeton, I actually added some quotes now from Marilyn Monroe because it said something about a woman can never have too many shoes. And that's really funny because she's long gone and that is Virginia Templeton's thing with the shoes. But so I find, you know, I added that now. So if you keep doing your book enough, now somebody's asking a question here. Okay. Well, here we got one here. It says, I should probably answer this. What is the biggest mistake an individual can make in the area of marketing promotion? In my opinion, too much and changing your focus. You have to really stay focused. I think that's really important, is to, if you have children's books, you know, if you write different genres, you're going to have to split it up no matter if you don't want to. You have to.
No.
Because it really was a mistake. But now, as I said, I removed some of the things. But I think for me, it's a mistake. And I think if you do children's books, you should really have a separate website for that because apparently nothing has changed because apparently people are turned off by that. So you have to be careful about what you're putting if you're a children's author. Not as much if you're a mystery and thriller, but when you're a children's author, it matters. It just does, you know. And as much as things have changed in life, they really haven't changed for children because they need the values and, you know, we're the ones that guide children.
Well, I was going to say the other mistake, and this isn't something, this is me being told this from other, and I'll actually tell you what author it was. Brandon Wall, which is a New York Times bestselling author who writes, of course, in the young adult and middle grade market. In one time, in one of the, I don't remember if it was a conference or one of the interviews that he did out here in Utah that I was at anyways, but we're all kind of just chatting and people are asking questions. And I know one of the things he said is one time he had one book that came out and he had a deadline for another book at the same time. And so, and it goes back to what you're saying, Marsha, about the focus, that he knew that the marketing campaign for this particular book wasn't as great as it could have been because he was split between making deadlines for another book to get published.
Yeah.
And of course promoting that book. And the one thing I remember him saying is, when I have a book coming out, I focus on that. And then when that's done, after that month or two is done of like the main push for the book, then I go back to working on my other stuff, because you can't, your mindset needs to be where you can talk, again, it goes back to what I was saying, where you talk about how this benefits the reader. And if your mind's over here on the second book you're working on during that time, guess what? You're not going to be thinking, how is this going to, you're just going to be like, buy the book. It's going to all be, it's going to be in your head.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to be in two places at once mentally, and you can't. So I think,
which is a big problem for people, because we all try, you know, we really do try to do too many things at one time, you know, and that's why, you know, we're talking about certain things today, but then the next time we do a show, we're going to talk about other things. And, you know, I think that all of these things, you know, after 5 and 6 years of doing shows, you know, and hearing everybody, you know, and you just, above everything we're saying, you kind of have to be happy with what you're doing and kind of enjoy writing again. I think the part of thinking about how much you're going to sell, where you're going to sell, how much you're going to market ruins it for writing. You when you write, you enjoy writing. It's fun. It should be. And you love your characters and have a good time. And I think for me, I think I was probably better off when I didn't know a lot of things. I just had fun writing. Now, you know, you can't help but keep it in your mind thinking like, well, is someone going to buy this? Or if they do, is this going to be right? And one of the biggest things, we'll probably talk about that in another show, which is editing. I think we're having Jeff Fleischer, my editor, who, you know, he's edited all my books. And I think, I'm hoping you're coming on that show. We're going to do it in a couple weeks, and we'll put it out there. But that's a big problem. So that one we need a whole show on, editing.
Right.
And I am not an editor. I need editing badly.
And we will talk more about, you know, marketing and stuff, because there's so much there about it. But the biggest thing is, marketing, yes, is important, but you don't want to overdo it. And you also don't want to spend so much time where like 1 or 2 years has gone by where you're just constantly promoting your book because you're not writing. You need, it's all about balance. And it's all about having a timetable. Like I said, I don't make a timetable on the book tour that I do for my authors, but I tell them between this time, I want you to concentrate on it and help push it out. But once that time's up, I'll keep working on this. You go do what you need to go do.
Well, that's the other thing. They have to help, right? You have to help whoever you're using for marketing. And that's one of the reasons, you know, it's interesting, because even when I was, you know, looking for an audio person, you know, the narrator said, well, let me check you out first to see, because I don't want to go with someone that won't promote. So then when she checks us out, I have like a million things. She says, oh, yeah, okay, that's fine. Because if you're going to find a narrator also that wants to do your audiobook, they want to make sure you can help them. And that's the same with any marketing you do. You can't just let them market. It isn't going to work. You got to help them, you know.
Yes,
and
you got to help them, but you should
always.
But I think you made a good point. You got to research them. And going back to, you know, like, that one question we're asked, well, how do I know you guys, you know, are good at what you do? How I tell a lot of people to know if I'm good at what I do, is I tell them, just go Google the word book and festival. That's it. Just those two words.
Right.
Like, okay, well, a bunch of stuff's going to come up with the word book festival, because there's so many book festivals out there. I kid you not, the St. George Book Festival, which I'm director of, comes up on the page within the top five. It was during the month of October.
Well, because you actually work really hard at that, you know, and that's why you haven't done as many shows lately, but you're back now, you know, but you have been.
Right, but what I was going to say is, in October, which is when that book festival happens, we came up as the third listed book festival,
Yeah.
and the only ones that beat when the only ones that beat me out was the New York Times Book Festival, and then oh my gosh, the Library of Congress Book Festival, which is of course is a huge national book festival.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, you know, that's put on by our government.
But the 10-day festival takes you 6 months to promote it or more.
Right. But what I'm saying is to have the St. George Book Festival in this little tiny town of St. George, which is in southern Utah, which is like teeny tiny, to come up as in October as the third listed book festival. And if you Google it now, we're still in the top five.
Yeah.
When you just type the words book festival, and you can see all the posts that I do through Google Plus, Facebook, everything else.
Right.
That's how you know. So if you want to know somebody who's going to do a good job for you, you Google something that's a generalized term that a bunch of places will use and see how often they come up using that term. You know, if it ties to, because, you know, that's the important part.
Should we talk about some of the shows we're going to have on? I think, I have a show with Amber, which is really good, Lady Amber. I've been trying for, years already to have her on. She's finally ready to come on the show, and she chose our show to come on. And she does a lot of promotion, and she just, you know, she works so hard for her authors. Oh, she's out there a lot, you know. And you know, Facebook has not always been the best. You know, that's what she does, promotion, and Facebook took her off. They punished her for a couple. I mean, it's, you know, I don't really know how that happens, because I had that also, you know. They put the names in front of you, like for me, and then they said, you want these people as your friends, so you added, then they said to me, I don't know the people. Why did I do it? I'm thinking, like, I didn't even know these. I put them in. I figured maybe they want to listen to the shows. Okay, but they sent me the list. So that's a problem. So that's another – we're going to discuss some of that. But she's coming on our show, and it's going to be a good show, because I think she's going to bring some of her authors on also. But I don't think she's been on shows, and she's been promoting tons of romance writers out there for several years in a good way.
Yes.
You know, I mean –
in a very good
just,
way. She does a great job.
Yeah.
See, here we are. We tell you we do book tours, and here we are telling you about another person who does tours for authors, and we're like,
she does parties. She does a lot of things, parties.
Yes.
And, you know,
because
you don't only need one person. You need several. I mean, you really do.
Yes.
You don't need one person.
You need to have
as many people as you can afford, and not in an expensive
team.
Way, and not spending $10,000. You don't need to do that.
Yes. No, you need a team of good people that, again, we build relationships. We, Lady Amber and us, have literally cross-promoted with each other because we value and understand that those kind of relationships matter. That's what it's about.
Yeah, she's been around. I mean, we try to go with people that have been around for years, because as a lot of you know out there, sometimes you look for someone and they're gone, and that is not a good thing. That is not a good – they don't even say goodbye. They're just gone, you know, and that's – You know, we have our phone numbers in it. We have our addresses. That matters, too, when you're looking for promotion. If people are willing to, you know, let you talk to them, and, you know that they maybe have an office, you know, I mean, not that any business can't go out, but you assume that they're probably they're at a place, which is a good thing, and they're not just on the Internet where they can take their name off and they're gone. That's a tough thing these days. That's tough.
I can't tell you how many times, because, you know, every 6 months I go back through our reviewer list and go check on their websites and see how they're doing, where all of a sudden it's like, oh, this website's no longer available. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Where did they go? You know, where
and
people
we also, I forgot to say, we have a show. I wanted to say, but I forgot one thing. We have a show, with Elizabeth Black as my co-host, and we're going to have Trent Szlasny and a couple other, Dana Fresby. We're going to have them on, and some of them were at the Stanley Hotel for the horror convention, and that should be very interesting to hear. That the Stanley Hotel is, you know, where they mention, you know, I don't know exactly that much about it other than when you see The Shining, that's where they say they are. So we're going to hear about it and hear if it's spooky, which I heard it was, because I already heard about it. We wanted to do the show from there, but we couldn't because we didn't know if we're going to have good reception, you know, because I think it's,
it's tucked in that mountain range, which makes it a little difficult.
Yeah, so that will be fun. So we'll be posting that. Yeah, I really want to hear about that. And I think Willa will be back doing shows. Kelly will be back. Mm-hmm. And Candy O'Donnell is also going to do a show in January. I cannot believe that we're going into December soon. This is really so strange. The year went so fast.
It did go really fast. It really has. And then something that I'm thinking about doing, besides, you know, the shows that I do where I work on more of the promotion side of things at the World of Ink. So I have more of like the shows about, you know, where authors get to come on and talk about their books and stuff.
Right.
I might actually start doing, I probably won't do it for an hour because nobody wants to hear me ramble for an hour, but I might start doing in 2016 a 30-minute show where it's just me, unless people want to post questions and stuff, then I'll answer them. But like a 30-minute show on just a specific kind of topic that I've been seeing feedback on and just kind of sharing the pros and cons of what I'm seeing. So it'll just be kind of a, I don't want to call it a soapbox kind of show because I won't be on my soapbox because I like to play devil's advocate. So that's why I'm saying that. It's not because I agree or disagree.
And we should say RJ Jeffries is out there. Thank you for listening in.
Yes.
And to also, you know, Work in Progress, who has been asking us questions. Thank you so much because that's what we want this show to be, because we want to hear what people say, you know, and, you know, because we want to know what's going on out there and how people feel.
Right.
And, you know, and these are the things that they care about, you know, is unfortunately they have to do PR. So if they have to do it, they want to know how to do it right.
Yes. So we'll be doing the show once a month. And like I said, and then I'm hoping to do more of like an informational kind of show where like the whole thing with Amazon, like just 30 minutes on what's going on with that. Just kind of like more of like a publishing kind of update news kind of show. So yes, it will, as I said, so it'll be about probably no more than 30 minutes. So something I'm looking into. I just want to make sure there's enough newsworthy stuff that isn't just garbage. To share.
Like, so it's like all the emails. The emails I go, I put them in a file, and I go like, okay, I'll do this later, and then I never do it. And then I look and go, why didn't I do this? And then by the time I do it, it's over already because you can't do everything. We're actually admitting to the fact that the two of us, yes, we do too much, as we know. And you know, and then my husband sometimes I'll say like, I think I might be bored. He goes like, how is that possible? How is that possible? You can be bored, but you know. People like us, we just keep going, you know, and I don't know, you know, that's why, you know, we have to focus and we know it. That's why we're focusing on certain shows, because we know that it's so important out there, because as you've heard, all the things that happen and we try, you know, doesn't always work. So I think that people, you know, I wish there was the magic wand, but there isn't. I'm looking for that wand.
It literally is the luck of the draw. And, you know, a lot of the times when people come out like, oh, yes, you know, this new author, you know, that nobody knew, and they're like this hot sensation. You know what? The reality is, and I'm going to pick on her because I love picking on her, but like Stephanie Meyer with Twilight, everybody thought that she hadn't been out there for a while. She already had a couple of books published.
You haven't said anything about her in so long.
I know. Well, we did on the panel in October, and I wasn't the only one. It was kind of funny.
I never mentioned
classes,
a name.
She took classes. But I'm just saying, but what I'm trying to say is when you see that hype out there, realize it's hype, because Stephanie Meyer went to BYU. She went to Brigham Young University and studied literature to become a writer. She took classes from David Wolverton to become a better writer, and he's a national best-selling author. I mean, she took many classes from him. She published the book The Host before the Twilight Saga ever even came out. So when Twilight came out, she became a New York Times bestselling author, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, it was an overnight sensation. No, she put years of work behind that. It wasn't an overnight boom success. So realize it's marketing hype, and you can't let that discourage you. Okay.
No, you can't. You really can't. And that's why, you know, I'm sure by the next time we have a show, I'll have done something that I'll go like, oh, this was not a good thing. This was definitely not a good thing. But I'm, you know, that's what I do. And I like to do that because I really want to try new things. You know, that's why we say it's not only us to do the marketing, because we do good marketing and the ads are good. And that's one of the things adding, you know, you can add on our Facebook, you know, on our show page, the blog talk. But that's a good thing to do. But you also have to go to other people, because everybody has their own audience. And you really, there's never enough time to do all this. So you just have to pick a few and then wait a little bit and then do a few more. But don't just go out there and say, because they have the most elaborate website and it's very expensive, because just because it's very expensive does not mean it's great.
No.
Could be in a lot of problems. I hear people that have spent a fortune and nothing happens.
Well,
and
I was saying, here's,
yes, they happen, but they didn't even see their stuff out there at all.
Right. Well, here's my example of that, and this is what I want everybody to keep in their mind who listens to this show. If you watch TV and pay attention to commercials, I want you to start paying attention to commercials. Unfortunately, I cannot remember the name of the website, but there's a commercial for a website because there's quite a few of them now, and it's not. I don't think it's the Wix, the WIX website group, but there's one out there where it's like, you know, it's the tennis coach, and like, you know, you worked really hard on your business, but now you need to have a website to go with it, and it's the tennis one, and it shows, you know, them making this really fabulous, like, website, you know, of the tennis coach, and it's got a picture of, like, the tennis coach hit, you know, volleying balls back and forth with, you know, one of their students, this, that, whatever, and then all of a sudden, they do a half screen, and they show the reality where it's literally the tennis ball machine launching the balls at the students walking in a circle trying to hit the ball,
right.
But they're all missing it, and there's
right.
no teacher there at all.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because I laugh at that commercial because I'm like, this website company is trying to show, like, see, we can make your business look so fabulous. You know what I think as the consumer watching that commercial? I'm like, wow, that doesn't make me trust any website ever again.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. The blogs are good, and you can do them free.
Yeah.
And the blogs are really good. And Pinterest, so far, these things are free. Pinterest, don't, you know, think that Pinterest doesn't work for people, because it does. Because
it does.
People are on there, and, you know, they really are. They're on there a lot. And, you know, you put your books on there, and you can also find a lot of links to other things that can help you. And you can see, you know, a lot of the authors and which books are, you know, good books for kids. I mean, there's a lot out there. It is good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Yeah.
So that's, you
yeah.
know, so I think we covered pretty much today. This was good. So,
yes,
you know.
We covered a lot. And we thank all the people who listened today and fed us
yes,
questions.
Yes, we do, and being in the chat room, and we're going to try, you know, that's
yes.
what we're going to try to do. We'll do another show. Are you going to be able to do one in December, or you want to wait? We'll
yes.
just decide.
Yes. No, I think
oh,
we should
okay.
do one
wait,
in December.
We'll do it. Okay.
And I would love to in December, and, you know, obviously our listeners are more than welcome to email us through our contact page at worldofinknetwork.com, any subjects they'd like us to talk on.
Yes.
But
uh-huh.
I do think we should address editorial reviews, because that in December is usually a big time where a lot of authors start getting that, you know, like, oh, for my Christmas present, I want, you know, for people to get me that Kirkus review or whatever. And so I think we're going to talk a little bit about that in December,
yeah.
because I've been doing some research on that about pros and cons.
Yeah.
So and we've had some people on from Kirkus before. So and there's other
we've had Kirkus
other,
people. I mean, from Kirkus, you know, and it's expensive,
yeah.
right? Is it? That's
it. Is,
that's
it
the
is.
Thing. We're not here to say don't do things, but we're trying to say that if you're in for the long range, it's going to cost you some money. So
yes.
try to do it wisely, where you don't like blow all your money at the beginning, and then after a few months, you have no money left to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, if you do it gradually, I think because your book is going to be out there for a long time. So,
right,
you know,
right.
I think that you have to really market wisely and economically for most people.
Yeah. So that's one thing I think we'll touch on in December is those editorial reviews, because I've actually found some more sites and have read some blogs and some editorials written about those. So I think that'll
yes.
be a fun conversation for our listeners to,
yes.
to kind of hear a little bit about.
There's a lot. Okay. All right. There's a lot of that. All right. And everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, because I don't have a show next week. And do you have one next
no.
week?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. We're taking
right,
the week
so
off, everybody. We
all right. So it's happy Thanksgiving to everybody. We'll be on right after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
All right. Thanks. All right. Take care. Nice talking to you. Okay. I can't even
yes.
meet you. That's why I can talk to you at the show.
And if anybody needs to get a hold of us, go to worldofinknetwork.com, and we have our contact page, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions for you guys
yep.
through there.
Or, you know, and if you want to be on the show, if you have a subject, let us know. We're open.
Yes.
You know, and, if anybody wants to come in a group discussion, I'll be happy to have one. I like those
All
group
right.
discussions. Okay, bye.
Yes.
bye.
Okay, everybody take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Follow me to the World of Ink.